This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Length reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back to the second hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. As we do in the second hour, I'm replaying a number of daily editorials and company updates for all of you listening on the radio that might have missed some of our weekday commentary, where we do cover market moves. Since I did spend the first hour of the weekend show more with the generalist investor, I'm going to more replay some of the segments this week that focused on the moves in the precious metals. So again, all of these interviews that you're going to hear do come from the week. You can hear the full interviews on our website or podcast or YouTube page. I'm unable to play the full entirety of the interviews simply because of radio station time restrictions, but this gives you a little taste of what we talked about this week. Kicking off the second hour with a Monday discussion with Cam Curry. We're chatting with Cam Curry from Curry Metal and Mining Group, Senior Investment Advisor over at Canaccord Genuity. With Cam, I want to talk about the environment for investors looking at metal stocks. We're not going to talk so much about the metals price. We all know that gold's at all-time highs. Silver's been doing well. Copper's above $4. But the stocks broadly, especially precious metal stocks, continue to lag these moves. So Cam, first and foremost, we hear so much about if we want major, large investors, generalist investors to come into the sector, we need to look to the major gold producers and see volume uptick, see price appreciation. But the question being, we haven't seen much good news, let's say, or exciting news out of these majors. That corresponds to kind of boring share price movement, but we have seen better action in some of the mid-tiers. Will investors, in your eyes, even bother peeling back that onion and looking past the majors if they're not performing very well?
No, Corey, that's a really good question, because one of the problems we've had in the sector is, I guess, for lack of better words, poor performance from the big bellwethers, the Newmonts and Barricks. And a lot of people don't know this, but the Newmont's the only S&P 500 listed gold company. And so index-wise, that's the one everyone looks at. And with its lower production, increasing costs, its performance has been, you know, mediocre at best. They even cut their dividend just recently, and they're selling off a couple assets just to bring down their debt after their acquisition of Newcrest. So that's one of the issues. I mean, if you look at, on the other side of things, the tech land, you look at the percentage change of growth in some of these new tech sectors that are in flavor right now. You know, when you're seeing 155 or 250% increase in revenues projections, news is very positive. We're seeing some disappointments, and that's adding to the malice towards the sector. But one of the big things is our sector is so small, and most people don't realize the market cap of all global gold equities is less than Home Depot. So it's a very, very small universe. So we still have redemptions in gold ETFs in the United States. Therefore, we still have, you know, lackluster interest in the equities. So that's one of the biggest problems. But going back to your question about the mid-tiers, you know, the Eldorados, the Alamoses, the Lending Golds, you know, they've got greater weighting of indexing from some of these U.S. index funds. And so they're performing quite well, and they've been executing as well. And so it's a lot easier to execute when you're a 500 to a million ounce producer opposed to a 4, 5, 6 million ounce producer too.
Okay, just along that line of thinking, there's a lot of the mid-tiers inside of GDX and GDXJ, and I wonder what the impact of passive investing is on people that used to stock select and pick individual mining companies. Do you think the trend, not just in the precious metal sector, but really across most investment classes into ETFs and into passive investing, is that taking a toll on the sector?
Well, not just on the sector, but that's the new theme of investing, period. I guess about 3 weeks ago, it was published in the States that passive funds, ETFs, have now surpassed managed funds. I think it's over $17 trillion. And so what you have now is people just buying passively. And that's why you're seeing these moves in the NVIDIAs, the AI stocks, and the cybersecurity stocks, because You know, if you go back in time, for example, I guess a classic example would be back in the cannabis days when all the cannabis stocks went nuts. It was all the passive ETFs the U.S. investors invested in that got sprayed into the underlying companies. And that's what exponentialized valuations. You know, I've mentioned this numerous times, that Tilray went to $260 a share because of ETFs. Now it's $2 a share. And so we have these moves, and passive investing is driving everything. So one of the things that we have to see here, we've seen some price action in gold. Now we, the narrative has to take place, which we're now just starting to get. Last week, there was a feature on CNBC, or 2 weeks ago, on gold, very positive, opposed to a lot of times it's negative. So you get the price action creates a narrative, and the narrative will create the ETF flows. And that's where I think we are. I think we're very close to getting some ETF flows coming into the equities, because the managed funds, the gold funds, are still getting redemptions right now.
Exactly. That's a key point, though. Even with gold's breakout, silver's better performance, we continue to hear about ETF outflows, but we have at least seen a slight uptick in volume. So what data are you watching for? How are you going to view if we are actually seeing a true trend change with investors coming into the sector, or if this is kind of another bounce that we've seen throughout the years for the sector that just doesn't take us that far?
Well, looking at gold price and gold ETF flows in the U.S. is one of the key things. Gold ETF holdings in the States have gone from 3,600 to 2,025 and change. So that, you know, we've had a money flow outflow of ETFs. I'm looking for that reversal as one. The other thing, too, I think, is that we've seen this exponential move in some of these narrative stocks in the United States. And I think once that rate of change starts normalizing, money will look elsewhere. And you know, gold at 2162 right now, it's near its all-time high. And you know, a number of these companies are doing extremely well in this environment. And so we will see some money flows. In the last couple of weeks, we've seen much greater volumes in the Newmonts. We've seen much better volumes in Barricks and the Kinrosses. And so it may be an indication that we're starting to get some positioning. One of the interviews that I was recently watching was one of the was the CEO from Agnico. At the BMO conference, he was talking about some of the big generalist funds and investing in Inigo. And they're looking at the markets right now because they're getting nervous about valuations in the States. And they're getting a little bit more nervous about the economic outlook and obviously the geopolitical environment. So they're playing that market still, but they got an eye on the gold stocks. And they are getting more and more interested. And, you know, the data coming from these generalist funds was in the last 15 major corrections since the 20s. Of the 15, gold went up on average 40%, and you know, after when those corrections taken place. So if they're thinking correction in U.S. equities, then you should have a position in gold and gold equities. And I think they're starting to pay attention to that. And that narrative will create money flows into the passive ETFs, and that will have an impact on price. And that's what we need to happen here.
Cam, when you look at some of the companies in the gold and silver space and really across the resource sector that have resources defined, they either have a resource estimate or maybe they even have some economic studies in place, I don't remember ever seeing such a big divorce between where they're being valued in ground, the ounces in the ground or the pounds in the ground, versus where the metals prices are trading. What is your take on that disconnect?
A number of reasons. One of the main reasons, there's been a number of articles recently in National Post, Pierre Lassonde and Frank Juster have been pointing this out, is since 2010, the money flows or money outflows out of the resource funds in North America and in Europe is absolutely incredible. I mean, it used to be like $12.5 billion in resource funds in Canada. Now it's down to $2 billion. And so you have an absence of investors in this space, and a lot of them have left and gone on to other sectors. We all saw the movement of the speculator moving into cannabis and crypto and all those things in the past, and they just haven't come back yet. And so that is a major, major problem. Like I said, we're still getting redemptions in the gold funds. I had a fund on out of the States I was talking to last week, and honestly, their body language and their tone was nothing short of being depressing because they've had a tough, tough time. And so going back to the juniors and the developers trying to raise capital for these companies right now, I mean, it's extremely difficult because there's zero interest. And just on another note, a lot of investment advisors now are passive investors. They just plug and play ETFs. So stock picking and speculating in the resource sector is a very, very small universe of people now. And so that's one of the other problems, too, is that when you have so few people looking at these things, it's tough to raise money for the developers.
you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Second segment of the second hour. I am going to continue to replay that Cam Curry interview. We get more into the financing environment, and I ask Cam if we, as investors, should be focused on companies that have money.
Well, just a reminder, we are in a cyclical business, and metals are required to run, you know, technology. Electricity. I mean, it's everything about what we create out of the ground is important to the new age technologies. And so the answer to the question is, of course, money will come back. Question is when. I mean, I think what's so frustrating amongst a lot of resource for precious metals investors right now is that gold's at 2165, near all-time highs. There's no other commodity like that and in terms of pricing. And yet our stocks have underperformed. So I think a lot of people are just they're exhausted and they're going, just get me out of these things. They aren't performing. So money will come back in, and it's typical. I mean, money chases momentum. And if you go back in time about 2 years ago, if you look at uranium is dead. Now look at it. Cameco went from $12 to what, $65 is a high. NextGen as well. That was $1.52. Now it's at $10. So money will come in once they see price action. And that is such an important part of it, because price action will create narrative, and narrative will create money flows. Because passive funds are the driving force. I would surmise that we'll see money flows coming in from ETFs first, and then later on we'll get some of these managed resource funds getting money flows in, because that's just the way the flow seems to work these days.
Well, Cam, another phenomenon that sometimes drives interest into the sector is mergers and acquisitions. And we haven't seen that much M&A. The M&A we have seen is the big boys acquiring each other or merging with each other. We haven't seen a lot of those traditional go down the food chain and pick off the single asset producers or the development projects. We've seen a few. Do you think that because of the dynamics where the metals prices are doing so well, but the actual companies' valuations are so small, that we'll see an uptick in M&A?
We will at some point. Like I said, everything's cyclical, and eventually there'll be a wake up in the boardrooms of the companies that have no growth or means for placing production, and they're going to be looking 3 years out, 4 years out, and go, okay, what are we doing? Now that we see actually confidence that we're in this price range for precious metals and we're going higher, then we have to start making some decisions. And we haven't seen any of that. I mean, sure, you saw Newmont buy Newcrest, and there's been other acquisitions, but, you know, I'm a big believer in M&A if it makes sense. Just recently, Caliber bought Marathon, and that was a marriage of two assets that, in my view, you know, basically makes 1 + 1 = 5. And they just got put into the GDX last Friday, which was, 43 million shares of buy side coming into it. And here's a Newco that's been created, a 300,000-ounce producer. Now Valentine of Marathon's asset is under production, under construction, and that will take it to 500,000 ounce production. Puts into the realms of the mid tiers like the Lundin Golds, the Alamos, Eldorados, and the re-rate alone on that, in our view, should send the stock upwards of $3 a share. Now trading at $1.86. So in a case like that, that makes sense, and we're very, very big in the sponsorship of that entity. But M&A for the sake of M&A, just to attract investor interest, It has to make sense. And that's one of the problems. A lot of M&A done in the past didn't make sense, and the industry is still being penalized for that.
Hey, in all fairness, at the end of that last bull market, let's say 2011, people were saying, look, these companies need to stop doing M&A. The majors need to clean up their balance sheets, control their production. They have, but investors sure haven't reacted to that. So from more of a portfolio management standpoint, do you think it's better to focus simply on companies that are in production making money, those that are being close to being built, or maybe even early stage developers that still have to get a project over the finish line to actually start producing?
Well, again, depends on your risk profile. For some investors, I mean, I have seniors, mid-tiers, developers. I'm not going down to the grassroots exploration arena right now, because if this market doesn't get money inflows in the next, let's just say, next 12 months, some of these companies are going to have a real difficult time staying alive. And so why would I go down to that level when I can buy some of the companies trading, you know, at 7x PE multiple debt-free? I mean, there's some great, great companies out here that are just dirt cheap. And that's one of the advantages of being in my place, is that the passive ETFs spring into the underlying components of those indexes. I'm looking at companies and buying companies up that are not in these indexes, that there's no money flows, and if anything, there's redemptions that have been sold off because they're doing so well. And that gives us an opportunity to buy great, great companies at a discount because there's no money in the space, and we have capital to deploy.
Well, Cam, another thing investors look at, I'd love to get your thoughts on it, is the jurisdictional risk or the ability to parse through the data and find out some of these companies are already overly discounted because of their jurisdiction risk. How do you look at jurisdiction? Are there areas that you like to invest in or areas that you avoid?
Well, there's some companies I've been involved with in the past and I just don't go back to. But risk is a funny word to use in the mining industry, because I would argue that, say, in Canada, for example, trying to build a project on time, on budget is a high-risk proposition. Trying to get permits in Nevada to even build a project is a high risk, because it can take you a number of years. In West Africa, for example, you have risks there with the geopolitical risk and the narrative risk of what's going on in countries like Niger, which is impacting the perception of the whole arena. And yet, you can get a project permitted and built in a very short period of time, on budget. So both jurisdictions, be it North America or West Africa, carry different types of risks. You just have to understand what those risks are. And if it creates an opportunity for greater unlocking of value, if some of that narrative risk or profile risk of permitting can be worked through. A lot of times you have to make sure you're buying into companies at this proper level of the time cycle. I've got five companies I really, really like, but I'll visit them about a year and a half from now, because they're in that permitting stage and there's just no news. Country risk. I mean, look what happened down in Peru and Chile. I mean, we were doing great. Look what happened in Panama with Cobre Panama. I mean, you just never know what's going to happen. So that's why you need a diversified portfolio and someone who knows to assess the risks of these different jurisdictions.
Yeah, so true, Cam. It's hard to predict jurisdictional risks sometimes, especially in countries that even seem kind of safe at one point. But there are a lot of countries out there that are viewed as always on the verge of maybe taking projects away. One more comment, though. It seems like we're talking a lot about precious metals here, and quite frankly, the lack of interest in precious metals stocks. You brought up uranium, how that drew in some investors. Can these other resource sectors, can they help out the precious metals sector by performing better and bringing more investors into the resources broadly?
Well, we just saw a move in the copper stocks in the last week because of a number of smelter shutdowns in China. And so there was some very strong price action in the stocks. And so I think one of the things about the resource sector as a whole is if there's some great profits made in one aspect of one commodity, then those commodity investors may look at other commodity stocks. And so creating wealth can create money flows to go into other companies or other sectors for that matter. So yes, it does help each other, but I think that copper investors are different investors than gold investors though too, right?
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
USA News Update. ISIS claiming responsibility for a massive terrorist attack at a concert hall near Moscow. Five gunmen shooting and killing at least 60 people, more than 145 others injured in the attack. Disturbing video posted online showing the five gunmen in military uniforms shooting at civilians with automatic weapons as other people are screaming and running for cover. White House National Security spokesman John Kirby telling reporters,
"There is no indication at this time that Ukrainians were involved involved in the shooting.
Now, the Russian rock band called Picnic was about to take to the stage to start playing at the sold-out show. The five terrorists also throwing explosives in the building, which started a massive fire. Russian media says none of the venue's security guards had guns and may be among those who were killed. The U.S. Embassy in Moscow had warned Russian authorities of a possible terrorist attack 2 weeks ago. Laura Winters, USA News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. This next segment is with Jordan Royburn, taking a look a bit more at the precious metals equities in terms of the type of companies he is focused on, the ones that he thinks have the best opportunity to rebound first and add some leverage to an underlying more bullish outlook for these sort of stocks. This interview was posted on Wednesday. Jordan and I did talk for quite a while, so if you want to hear this full interview, again, you'll just need to find it on our website, podcast, or YouTube channel under a Wednesday posting. Welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm going to be focusing in this segment a lot on the precious metals, but more so on the underlying stocks because, well, I really think a lot of the narrative around gold continuing to hold above $2,100 and silver right around that $25 level, a lot of the technical factors are still the same. We need these continuation of higher prices to continue to keep moving some of these stocks, which broadly these stocks have also rebounded. I am chatting with Jordan Royburn, founder and editor of The Daily Gold. Now, Jordan, we are chatting on a Fed day. In all fairness, this whole week is full of central bank commentary, but again, it's a Fed day. We're going to see volatility on the back of the Fed announcement. We just had the Fed announcement and the start of the press conference, and hey, we're seeing some positive moves in a lot of sectors, including the precious metals. But Jordan, I know you love to ignore what the Fed has to say. I'll give you the floor briefly to at least address that.
Hey, Corey, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I don't know what the Fed said. I don't care. The reality is if we step away, we look at the technicals of the market, everything in precious metals world is acting pretty well. You know, gold, we have this major breakout from this 13-year cup and handle pattern, has measured upside targets initially from the smaller cup and handles of 2350, 2500. The big pattern projects to roughly 3,000. The log target projects to roughly 4,000. And so gold is in breakout mode. We know that after gold breaks out, usually a couple months, or it could be 9 or 10 months later, silver then breaks out and really starts to perform. So that's what the technicals are telling us. If we think about the fundamentals, you know, it looks like we're in stagflation. Are we headed? We're headed for stagflation as the jobs market starts to get a little bit worse. And that's why the Fed's in a pickle, because if they hike rates, they're going to do a lot more pain to the bottom 50% of the country. And so they can't do that. And also it would, you know, would push the economy into a recession. And at the same time, they really don't want to cut because the economy's holding up okay, and you have long-term inflationary pressures after they did all this hiking and tightening are still turning up. So they're in a pickle, and I think that's what, especially the chart of gold, what's that, that's reinforcing. And so, you know, I don't care what the Fed said. It doesn't matter. They follow the market, and the market is, at least as far as the technicals, it looks really good for gold. And if that continues, which I think is more likely than not, more capital is going to move into silver. It's going to move into the gold stocks and the juniors eventually. So in this sector, we're finally in a really good situation. So because of that, you know, there's nothing that the Fed can really say or do at this point to change that. They could affect volatility, short-term volatility. But, you know, aside from that, it's really not worth your time. You should focus more on researching companies and trying to pick the best stocks that can really move and make you a lot of money in these new bull markets. So thank you, Corey, for letting me riff on here about the worthlessness of following the Fed.
Hey, no worries, Jordan. And not that you care, but look, the Fed really held pat, and they're still projecting 3 rate cuts for this year, and that's giving a boost, as you said, to gold, silver, the underlying equities, as well as the U.S. equity markets. The S&P now above 5,200. Look, Jordan, let's get into the gold equities first and foremost, because we have seen a broad rebound in these stocks. Now, a lot of these stocks broadly off some pretty depressed levels, but we've seen at least a 20% rebound, I would say, in most of the stocks, and even more so on some of the on select other stocks. So what have you noticed in terms of the gold equities that have rebounded? Which ones are performing better in your eyes?
The ones that are performing best and better, as you asked, I'm seeing the strongest growth-oriented producers, or just producers in general. You know that I don't really look at majors. I look at juniors and some larger juniors. And the ones that are the healthiest and have production growth potential, those are the ones that are performing the best. And it makes sense because those are the ones that are going to benefit from gold moving from, you know, 2,000 to 2,200, in at least benefit immediately, because that's going right to their bottom lines. And size is also an important factor. So that's not to say that a company needs to be producing 1 million ounces or 3 or 500,000 ounces. But if you have some size and scale and you're making money and you're well run, you're really going to benefit from the initial move in the gold price. And for the companies that are not benefiting, either they will benefit fairly soon if gold continues to 2350 or 2500, or there is something seriously flawed and that they're going to be, the share price will be asleep for a long time or until something changes.
So when it comes to miners and their cost profile, does it matter right now if they're a low cost producer or a higher cost producer in terms of the potential degree of move?
Well, at least the ones that I'm looking at, they're performing best. They're lower cost producers. But if you are a higher cost producer, but you're doing fine running your businesses, you don't have any major problems, I think capital will eventually flow into those types of companies. It's just that initially capital is going to go into the lower cost producers that are growing. That's the way I look at it.
So when it comes to growth profiles, what are you looking for in terms of a growth profile? A lot of companies say, hey, look, we are going to be drilling. We're going to be exploring. We might either be extending mine life, or they might actually have some sort of development going on the project to bring in a new area or install some new equipment that can ramp up growth in terms of production. What sort of growth are you looking for?
Production growth, essentially. I know that's what you were asking about, but I'm thinking about the next, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, and I think production growth potential is the number one thing, and then the second thing would be, do they have re-rating potential or valuation expansion potential? You know, if there's a company that's trading at 6 or 8 times cash flow, is there potential for them to trade at 10 times cash flow or even 12 times cash flow? So I'm looking at those numbers and assessing where these companies could be in, again, 2, 3 years, and maybe even 4 or 5 years in some cases. So it all comes back to production growth potential and what the company will look like, again, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And again, it just comes back to the numbers. I mean, generally, if you're looking at a smaller company, you would like them to need to have multiple mines, or they have a mine that's, you know, they're going to do a startup approach where they're a phased approach where, you know, maybe they'll start out producing 70,000 ounces, but it could get up to 100 or 125,000 ounces, something like that. But also at the same time, I think if you're developing a really big mine and you're able to finance that without destroying your capital structure, those are also interesting situations where that type of company can, you know, go from being a smaller company, and if they can successfully finance and build that much bigger mine, you know, they can do really, really well, or I should say the share price can perform really, really well. So, I mean, every situation is different, but I mean, it comes back to what's the re-rating potential and what's the production growth potential, and can they finance it?
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
All right, final segment of the weekend edition. This is a replay from a Thursday interview with our good friend Brian London. We get into precious metals prices and the underlying stocks. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend, and I hope you all have enjoyed this weekend show. We're going to be talking about gold's move up to $2,200. Silver that poked its head close to that $26 region has reversed today. And also the overall makeup of March here, where we've started to see silver and the gold equities outperform the gold price, even while gold has been performing quite well. We are chatting with Brian London, editor of the Gold Newsletter, also our host down at the New Orleans Investment Conference, which I will post a link to below. Hopefully, many of you listening can join us down at Brian's conference this year in November. Brian, let's start off with kind of this big picture shift that we have seen in March for the precious metals equities and even silver. Both of those have started to outperform gold. Now, I know that there's a lot of work for silver and the equities to do to even come close to catching up to where gold is at all-time highs. But when it comes to this shift in March, how are you playing it? Do you think this could just be the start of a better environment for the equities and for silver?
Yeah, I really do. I think it's a better environment all the way along. And in fact, silver and the mining stocks have been outperforming gold since the beginning of this run, which really started the last day of February and had that big day, the first day of March. So what we've had so far is, you know, March metals madness. And I think it's going to continue. We've only started in the past few days to have a few pullbacks here and there, but we saw an explosive reaction from gold to the Fed simply keeping their forecasts at 3 rate cuts for the year. So I think that obviously has a big part to play in where we've gone so far in the metals and really all the risk assets out there is investors are finally focusing on the important thing, the basic fact that the Fed will cut this year. You know, the timing of the cuts, when they're going to start, how many they're going to have, that's really the minutiae that I think the market had been obsessing over. And in recent days and recent weeks has just started to put aside and folks and begin to focus on the simple fact that we are going from the harshest rate-cutting environment, arguably, in Fed history, to the rate-cutting cycle. And that's going to be tremendous because all of these markets, from stocks to metals and commodities, have done very well during this rate hiking environment. So you would assume that during a rate cutting environment that we go from headwinds to tailwinds, we should do a lot better. And I think that's what one of the big factors that has really been driving gold over the past few weeks.
Well, Brian, I was going to ask you what you thought was behind the scenes outside of just the expectations around Fed rate cuts, because there seems like there's wild moves sometimes in the metals and cryptos and the general stock markets and the NASDAQ and the S&P. Everything is launching higher. The narrative hasn't changed that much. Are there any other forces at work here that you see from the economic side or the macro side that are maybe giving investors that feeling of let's go ahead and speculate?
Well, you know, generally speaking, we've continued to see really positive economic data. And going by that data, the Fed should not even be considering whether they shouldn't be considering cuts at this point. Even inflation has some indications that it may be having a spike in the near future. So the Fed really shouldn't. And I think that what's prompting them to keep expectations high for rate cuts is the simple cost of servicing debts at these levels of debt and at these interest rates. It's not just the federal debt, which we've talked many times, has reached $1 trillion a year and growing, and is still resetting at higher levels, but corporate debt, and in particular, corporate real estate, with just under $1 trillion of that debt load resetting this year. So you literally can't have rates this high. And I think the markets and investors in general are voting that way with their money, with the expectation that the Fed really does have to cut, even though inflationary pressures could return and even though the economy still seems to be going in fairly good fashion. In the metals specifically, there are some other factors, particularly gold, that are very interesting. We have seen strong buying in China, which we typically don't see on a price rise, but because there aren't many alternatives in China right now, we have a nascent economic slowdown there, you see a lot of money going into gold domestically. And we have central bank buying that is supporting the market, and that is not price-sensitive buying. So that's two factors that I think help spark the rally in gold. And as we speak, we're starting to see Western investors finally chased the price higher. The holdings in GLD over the past few days bottomed and are now growing at a fairly rapid rate. And that's a great proxy for Western investment demand. So if we have all three of those sectors buying gold at the same time, you know, I would hate to be a short standing in the way of that.
Let's talk more about that U.S. demand, because it really has been the one thing that's lacking. But you just mentioned GLD there. You can also look at some of the gold ETFs like GDX, GDXJ. Those have seen higher volumes. The majors have also seen a bit of an uptick in share price and in volume. Really, a lot of equities have seen that uptick. What else are you watching on the Western demand front that could signify that there is more interest here, and maybe that interest could be growing?
Well, the open interest on the COMEX started responding with the gold price. Now, that obviously includes shorts as well as longs, so it's really a gauge, not as much of buying, but of interest in the sector. But, I think, the shorts that pile into gold and silver just keep having it handed to them, and I don't think they want to get in the way of this freight train. We are seeing, as we speak, a bit of a setback or correction in the gold price and particularly in silver. But I don't think that's anything to be feared like we have in the not too recent past. You know, we always fear a big slam down in gold and silver. I think the buying has been so broadly based and strong, and again, price insensitive in gold, that I don't think we're going to see that. I think, you know, this isn't hot money that's going into the metals right now, and that's exactly the kind of buying that we really want and need to see to have a sustained secular bull market. And again, I think that's what we have begun here.
Well, Brian, when you dial down into the stocks, especially the universe of, let's say, the junior stocks versus just the majors, and I guess you could carry that up into the mid-tiers too, are there any areas of the gold and mining stocks that you see having a better setup? Are you more partial to silver over gold? Do you like explorers versus the developers versus the producers? How are you looking at the different segments of the precious metals equities?
Yeah, I think the grassroots exploration plays will be the last to move outside of a few exceptions here and there. There are explorers that have been getting good results and some that have some resources that have been doing very well that we've been recommending in Gold Newsletter. And there are some special situations again here and there. But I think generally speaking, the companies that have big resources already in hand seem to have been responding first or earliest here, and especially the ones that look like they can build upon those resources. You know, I think they're starting to do better. But again, this is just the beginning of this trend. We really have, as you both have mentioned, a lot more room to go, not just in the course of this bull market, but just to catch up to the same kind of enthusiasm that we've seen in the metals. The mining stocks have, in fact, leveraged the move. They have been outperforming gold. But, you know, it's not been to the degree that we think they should have. There are still bargains replete in the sector everywhere you look, even though a company has been up 20 or 25% over the last week or two. They're still dramatically undervalued, and in fact, the ones that have been the early movers, those are the ones that have the market's attention, so they're very likely to be the better plays right now.
All right, that wraps up our weekend show. Thank you all for tuning in. Please keep in touch with me, Fleck@KEReport.com, and have a great weekend.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.